DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Good morning.
Happy Feast of Padre Pio.
Yeah. What a beautiful day. The Sunday liturgy always trumps the saint of the day. And the saint of the day loves to give glory to the Trinity, because that's what we always honor. Every Sunday is the Father celebrating all of creation, Jesus in his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit in his coming at Pentecost, so that the Sunday had become the time of our honoring of the Holy Trinity. And so every saint, his greatest glory is to honor the Trinity. And so St. Pio, one in all his great love of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And when I met him in 1959, and when I was blessed by him and assured by him that he would assist me, that every time that I would ask my angel to go to him, he would, in a very special way, assists me, especially in the sacrament of reconciliation, which was his great work. He had marvelous gifts, and as he celebrated the Eucharist, the wounds in his body would bleed, so one was he with Jesus. And as he would forgive sin 14, 15 hours a day, which became one of the great ministries that he had, and to read souls, so that the gifts of bilocation, the gifts of the stigmata, all of gifts could really be summed up in his honoring of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that great life of his, even now, as he reigns from heaven, he's probably one of the most popular saints on earth today. No matter where I go, I hear of St. Pio. And what he's always saying every time you come to him is glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. The readings of today are so powerful when we go to Mass. This is from the Gospel. It's a reading according to Mark's Gospel. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began their journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. So he's kind of traveling quietly through Galilee. And what's in his sacred heart? He was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. He tells them this. He wants to let them know that this popularity, this adulation that the crowds are giving him, he was traveling secretly because no matter where he goes, people are coming at him. He's a real rock star. And now what is he saying? At the height of his being honored and glorified. They're going to take me, they're going to hand me over, and I'm going to get killed. What's their response? But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. And in fact, one of the times that Jesus tells them that I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and they didn't understand what rise meant. But Peter said, God forbid. And it was right after Jesus told him that he was going to be his Pope. And Peter said, don't even talk like that. And you know what Jesus said to him? You're a devil. Right after he said, I'm going to make you the Pope. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I give it to you. You're a devil. You're Satan. You're not thinking of the way God thinks. You're thinking of the way men think. The very central act of Jesus Christ on earth, of all the things he did, incarnation, that God would become a man, of all the miracles, all the preaching, all the magnificent activities, what is one of my greatest legacy? I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise. Jesus, in coming head-on with the redemption and salvation of all mankind, is going to take the deepest wound that we have. And in today's Mass, you know, there's something about innocence that it needs to be gone against. There's an interesting passage in this same Mass of today. It's taken from the Book of Wisdom. This is for the same thing that happened in Jesus' time, that today our Lord is telling us, I must suffer, I must die, and I must rise. Who? Me and you. We are called to live the Paschal mystery. Every morning I get up, every day that you get up, Chris, and anyone who's listening to us, is the world, and how is it set against us? This reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violence of our training. Let us see whether his words are true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. What is the whole world want to do with innocence and goodness? It wants to kill it. Every innocent person, when a child comes innocent into this world, so many abortions, that innocent child is being killed before it has a chance to say anything. What is that? How could we be so cruel as to kill an unborn child? And yet we do. And since the abortion law has gone in the United States, the increase of child killing has increased 100% the very first year that it went into effect. And in our, just read our newspapers, see what's happening. The innocent are being killed. More and more, we see that people hate virginity. They want the virgin destroyed and raped. The demonic looks for somebody who's innocent to try and destroy it. And so Jesus is giving us an example. And what does our Lord say? He follows this teaching up in the Gospel of Mark. The apostles were pretty upset with him. Then he sat down with them because they were of the worldly mind. but he had to teach them. Then he sat them down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and the servant of all. Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. I am the innocent one. I have come to God. I am the innocent lamb that has come. And what is the world going to do to me? The wickedness of the world crushes in on Jesus and kills him. Every day that we wake up, there's something about the way the world is set up. And you as a parent know that your child, as soon as it's going to leave your home and go out to school, what's in your heart as it goes into first grade or kindergarten? It's opening up to a real danger that you try and tell the child about. Now that child, as it goes in, because of its innocence and openness and goodness, is going to have to learn how to deal with the wickedness that's going to be around it. What's going to happen? They say, well, how is it going to learn? You and I, and that child, has learned through rejection and how to deal with the cruelty of taunting, badgering. When you learn a little bit more about the world in grade school, then the child going into that larger world of the high school, through the suffering and the dying and the rising, the Paschal mystery, how to maintain your innocence in kindergarten, how to maintain your innocence in grade school, how to be Jesus in high school, how to be Christ in college. The psalm for today's Mass. The Lord upholds my life. O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend me. O God, hear my prayer. Hearken to the word of my mouth. For the haughty have risen up against me. The ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. There's something about Jesus in each one of us, innocence, that is going to run smack against the world. It's in you, and it's in me, and I must suffer, and I must die, and I must rise. What our Lord is saying to us, I believe, in today's message is, I must undergo temptation and suffering and death for your sake. And when I triumph, I will suffer, I will take the lead. No one else has ever done this. That's why he's our Savior. That's why he's our Redeemer. That's why Jesus Christ has kept us and preserved us and saved us from the darkness, because he went right into the darkness. I will go before you. And he suffered, and he died, and he rose. And the disciples didn't understand it, but he taught them, and he repeated it and repeated it. They didn't get it. And then finally, when he did it, and here at Mass, each Sunday, this Sunday in which we honor a man in our time who gave us a perfect example of Jesus. Just as Jesus said, I must suffer, I must die, and I will rise. Padre Pio went before us. When I met him at San Giovanni Rotondo, when I met him at his monastery, when I knelt before the Eucharist and the Mass that he offered, and the blood was coming down and running all over his alb and on the floor from his feet, I saw Jesus. I must suffer. I must die. And eventually, under a lot of abuse from his bishop, being silenced, being rejected. This vile man, let's test him. Let's put him to the test. He underwent every rejection and pain, just like Jesus. And then in 1968, he died, and he rose. He went through all this stuff, and now the whole world looks at Padre Pio. What do they remember? His resurrection. We somehow, like the apostles, want to block out. No, he had to suffer. He had to die in order to attain this wonderful position of being honored and glorified as a saint. He gave us the example, and that you and I have, as we follow this journey, have to see what the real lesson is. What's the real lesson? I must suffer. We must begin to say what Jesus said. I must suffer. When? Today. I must die today, and I will rise today. There are so many sufferings and deaths and resurrections each and every day. And if Padre Pio is going to be a model and an icon for us, then he is going to give us, each of us, the example of how to love when you're rejected, how to be the child in the innocence, and how to continue to love those who hurt us and reject us. And so if you're in high school and you're undergoing a great deal of suffering and pain, and you have this devotion to Jesus, and today I would recommend Padre Pio as a magnificent example for you as a high school student. The kids are calling you by names, rejecting you, because there's an innocence in you, because you don't have sex when you go out with the boys. And all that rejection that you feel, the innocence that you go through, or you may be in college. So the rejection that of the innocence and the goodness, you must suffer and die and rise. Be Jesus in the midst of a corrupt, depraved world. Within yourself, knowing who you are and what that world is around you. And if you're in business and you see so many people who are dishonest and they seem to get ahead, or if you see somebody who seems to be thriving while you yourself have to go through an awful lot of difficulty in your business or in your family life, and then listen to the words today. The integrity that you have and the peace of mind that will come to it, to your mind and heart. Truly, I think we've said so often, if you really pray and follow Jesus, you're going to get the best job. And your children will all get high honors and succeed. And you'll be honored and welcomed by everybody. And I think that kind of TV evangelism can sometimes hold out that false prospect to you. Not that success cannot come to those who are following Jesus, but that it will not always be the way of the world. But this will always be the way of the Christian, that I must suffer and I must die and I will rise.
It is not an easy message, is it?
No.
It's not exactly the recruitment poster that you would have.
Yeah, I think we really, very many times in the message in the name of Jesus, say, you will be prosperous, you will be successful, you will be getting all these blessings in this world. That a sign of your really being one with Jesus is that, but the whole message of the gospel is not this world. Yes, you will be happy in this world, and God will give you his blessing and his love and his protection in this world as well as in the next. But there will also be this suffering and rejection, because there's something about the way of the world, which is success at any price, that will reject you and crucify you just as it did the Lord Jesus.
Isn't it interesting that those that we seem to feel are so holy in our church and our society, that they have, even though they may suffer, they have an incredible joy. I mean, that joy seems to be almost a pearl of great price. I mean, they would do anything to be able to encounter that. And is that a part of heaven, Monsignor? Is that experiencing heaven?
It's also here. It's also here on earth. What I'm talking to little children and teenagers and married and elderly, there's not one mortal person among you. This is not a mortal group that I'm talking to. It's immortal. The life that the preacher and the one receiving, you are immortal. And because of Jesus, who has called you to immortality, so that the whole view of life in its perspective, that it's going to end in death, is just a whole wrong, completely misunderstanding. Every single one of you that's listening to me is not mortal. You're going to live forever. That changes the whole playing field, because whatever is happening is not all going to be over when you die. And so, supposing you're listening to me now, and you're a teenager and you have cancer, and the doctors have said you're going to die in 6 months. Well, that isn't the end of it all. And so that reality check that you have as a teenager, I remember this Eddie Walsh. He had cancer, and he was 10 years old, and he was a magnificent example. He used to love, he was a country musician. He and his little brother and his father went to Nashville for country western. They really loved country western music. And while they were there, Eddie was 8, his little brother was 4, and his father was a fireman in Scranton. And the 3 men were going to rob his father, and they shot him. And while he was laying there in a pool of blood, Eddie knew and saw the 3 men who had shot his father. And they were just terrified, and they went through a terrible time. But then the 3 men were apprehended, and they went to trial. And at the trial, the chief witness, because the father was unconscious, the little boy, 4-year-old, wasn't able to take it in. Eddie was the chief witness, and there was all kinds of people, and they denied that they had done this. And Eddie fingered the 3 men, and they were the ones, and of course they were the ones accused. And his testimony, they all were in jail. He developed cancer. He had chemo. His head was all bald, and he still had his Bible, and he always was quoting scripture, and he always loved to entertain the kids in the Philadelphia Children's Hospital. And he was a real sketch and a beautiful young guy. And he died. But about a week before he died, a group here in our town, I don't know if it's in your towns, it was a Make-A-Wish Foundation. Mm-hmm. And the children can make a wish, and they'd like to fulfill it for them. And they asked Eddie, "What's your wish?" And he said, "Well, before I die, I would like to go back to Nashville, and I'd like to go to that prison where those 3 men are. And I'd like to tell them that I love them and I forgive them for shooting my father. Because in another week or more, I'm going to die and I'm going to face my judge. And I don't want him to be harsh on me." And when I heard the gospel, Eddie preached the gospel. It's kind of a sign of what I mean. See, he was just 10 years old, and his whole life was behind him. How do you know? You know, you might be 15, or you might, whatever it is you're going through, you're going to suffer, you're going to die. And so no matter where you are on the spectrum, and yet you might even be, I'm 84, there are people who haven't yet found out what Eddie found out, that it's not all here. If you're hoarding and just piling up what you think is life here, no, it's all going to be over. I'm not talking to one mortal person. We're all called to immortality. And so the truth and the love and the life that we're called to lead is forever. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, has brought us all to eternal life. Every single one of us is immortal. And so Jesus, through his suffering and his dying, has given us eternal life. And we're going to rise. And when we die in this world, we're going to live forever. That's the message. Now, you cannot kill this good man. And if you aren't good and you're wicked, you're going to die forever. Because after you do die, you're going to really be dead. And you're going to remain in that. That's what this gospel's about. And that's what this wonderful truth is about.
Wow. Oh, any final thoughts on this day, Monsignor?
I just think that child, the child teaches, and the innocence of the child. No matter how old you are, no matter what age, you might be a middle-aged woman, and you might be in your 60s or 70s. You are a child of God. You are a child. That's why Jesus said, "He who receives the child receives me and him who sent me." The one who sent him was your Father, God. God is your eternal, immortal, everlasting, almighty Father. And he loves you with an eternal, everlasting love. You are a child. What is your 70 or 80 years to God? You're like a little baby in the arms of God. Every one of us can be that innocent child. Let him pick you up today and hold you and love you, especially if you're suffering or dying. You're really going to rise. Amen. Happy St. Pio Day.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.